Good afternoon, everyone, and welcome to the bidder information session for the September 2023 solicitation. This is the sixth solicitation under PECO's fifth default service program, or DSP-5, as I'll call it in this presentation. My name is Katie Orlandi, and presenting with me today is Matt Pettit. We are from NERA Economic Consulting, who serves as the independent evaluator for PECO's DSP-5. And with us today are representatives from PECO, who will be available to help answer questions you may have at the conclusion of the presentation. In today's presentation, we will provide an overview of the DSP-5 program, details on the qualification and bidding process, and we'll also cover solicitation-specific information, including the products available and the calendar with deadlines. All lines have been placed on mute, but you may ask text questions throughout the presentation. To ask a question, please locate the Q&A panel on the right-hand side of your screen, type in your question, and hit enter to submit your question to the panelists. If you experience any technical difficulties during today's presentation, please use the Q&A panel to let the panelists know, and someone will be in touch to help. Before we start, I'd like to make a note that any statements herein describing or referring to documents and agreements are summaries only and are qualified in their entirety by reference to such governing documents. The governing documents are the Pennsylvania Public Utilities Commission order related to PECO's fifth default service program from December 3rd, 2020, the RFP rules and addendum to the RFP rules posted on August 1st, 2023, also, the PECO Energy Company Pennsylvania Default Service Supplier Master Agreement, or Uniform SMA, as we'll refer to this document, which was posted on August 4th, 2023. These documents are all currently available on PECOprocurement.com. Documents related to the DSP-5 proceeding with the Commission are posted to the regulatory page, and the RFP documents and contract are posted to the supplier information page. So as I mentioned, NERA serves as the third-party independent evaluator for the solicitations under DSP-5. Our role is to ensure a transparent process for the RFP. So specifically, we are the main point of contact with RFP bidders. We ensure the RFP rules approved by the Commission are followed and the qualifications are evaluated equitably and fairly. We will evaluate the bids on a price-only basis, and then we will present the results to the Commission. The agenda for today's call is as follows. In the first half of the presentation, I will cover DSP-5 and the products available in this September 2023 solicitation. I'll then provide an overview of the RFP process, the contract, and rates. Then I'll pass the presentation to Matt to continue with the RFP process details, including the requirements to qualify to bid and the bid submission procedures. And then Matt will also provide an overview of the RFP website and how you can get in contact with us. Then at the end of the presentation, we'll go ahead and take your questions. So under DSP-5, PECO will procure full requirements service for their default service customers. As listed in bullet four, full requirements service includes energy, capacity, ancillary services, certain transmission services, and alternative energy portfolio standard, or AEPS, requirements. Default service customers are those customers that do not elect to take service from an electric generation supplier or return to PECO after receiving service from an EGS. Under DSP-5, solicitations are held in March and September of each year through 2024 for a total of 8 solicitations. And again, this is number 6 of 8. The supply to be procured is generally for the period of June 1, 2021 to May 31, 2025, but some contracts for products procured towards the end of DSP-5 will extend beyond June 2025. Under DSP-5, products are procured for three classes, as shown in this table. However, in this September solicitation, there are products available for only the residential and small commercial classes. The residential class consists of all residential customers. The small commercial class is commercial customers with less than 100 kW of annual peak demand. This slide provides the product characteristics applicable to the classes for which products are available. Suppliers for the residential and small commercial classes are paid on a fixed price basis, which is based on the supplier's average winning bid price for each megawatt hour of load served. So this means that the bid price is an all-in price. These two classes are served via laddered and overlapping 1-year and 2-year contracts that are procured twice a year in March and September. So for each class, the default load is divided into a number of tranches so that each tranche represents a fixed percentage of the load for the class. So for the residential class, there are a total of 62 tranches, and each tranche represents 1.6% of the default load for this class. There are 24 tranches for the small commercial class, and each tranche represents 4.17% of the default load. This slide here also provides the total and default peak information and an approximate megawatt measure for each tranche for each class. This data was updated as of July 2023. So as I mentioned, there are products for two classes in this solicitation. The naming convention for each product is as follows. Each product has three labels. First is the customer class served. Second is the length of the supply period. And third is the date of the supply period. So there are two products available in this solicitation for the residential class. There's a 12-month and 24-month product. The supply period for both of these products starts on December 1st, 2023. Same thing for the small commercial class. The available tranches are for 12 and 24-month products starting on December 1st, 2023. There are load caps that apply so that a supplier cannot supply more than 50% of the default load for a class at any point in time. The load caps in this solicitation account for products won in prior solicitations under DSP-5 that have a supply period that overlaps with the products available in this solicitation. And importantly, I want to note that information that pertains to products available in a solicitation, such as the number of tranches and the load caps, are available on our website. The solicitation specific information is provided in the addendum to the RFP rules. So on this slide, we provide the available tranches and load caps for the residential class. For the 12-month product, there are 12 tranches available. And for the 24-month product, there are 9 tranches available. So as I mentioned before, there are a total of 62 tranches for this class and a load cap of 50%. So in the case of the residential class, load caps are calculated as 31, which is 62 tranches times 50%, minus the tranches that a supplier is currently serving for products with a supply period that overlaps the upcoming supply period. And so these products that overlap with the upcoming supply period are listed here in bold in the table. So anyone who's a current default supplier serving these products that are in bold can use the table to determine its bidder specific load caps. And also the independent evaluator will provide these load caps to bidders along with the bid form. Load caps are calculated the same way for the small commercial class. There are two products available. 6 tranches are available for the 12-month product and 3 tranches are available for the 24-month product. As for load caps, there are a total of 24 tranches for this class. So suppliers are constrained on the number of tranches they can bid to 12 tranches minus the number of tranches the supplier is currently serving for the products listed in this table. As a final note, before I move to the RFP process overview, PJM's base residual auction for the 25-26 delivery year has been delayed and is now scheduled for June 2024. The result of the BRA for the 25-26 delivery year, when held, will provide a visible capacity price for the last 6 months of the 24-month products. Bidders that offer to supply the 24-month products are entirely responsible for any uncertainty related to the lack of visibility of the capacity price for the 2025-26 delivery year. So in the next section of the presentation, I'm going to provide an overview of the stages of the RFP process. And I'll start off this section here with a schedule. So the RFP process will kick off next week with the opening of the Part 1 form and then proceed over the next 5 weeks. The application process is in two parts. First, applicants will submit the Part 1 proposal with their qualification materials beginning August 31st when the Part 1 form becomes available. And then the Part 1 materials must be submitted by noon on the Part 1 date on September 12th. Applicants that qualify will be notified that they may submit a Part 2 proposal on the Part 1 notification date on September 14th. The following day, applicants can begin submitting the Part 2 proposal materials, including posting pre-bid security, and the Part 2 proposal due date is September 21st. Bidders are notified whether they have qualified to submit bids on the Part 2 notification date on September 25th, and then the bid date is the next day on Tuesday, September 26th. Qualified applicants have an opportunity to practice the bid submission procedures in a training that's held a week prior to the bid date. It's currently scheduled for September 20th. So the bid date is on the 26th. By the 27th, the independent evaluator will submit its report on the RFP to the commission, and then the commission will render a decision by close of business on September 28th. The RFP results on the bid date are contingent on final PUC approval. As I mentioned, we'll submit a confidential report on winning bids to the PUC by the day after the bid date, and then the PUC will issue a decision within one business day of receipt of the report. Then, after 15 days of the close of the solicitation, some information, including the average winning bid price, will be posted to picoprocurement.com. And Matt will touch on this posting more in the next half of the presentation. So the proposal process is entirely online. You'll submit the Part 1 and Part 2 materials through online forms or by email. These materials include providing required information about the bidder, for example, and supporting documents such as financials. Bidders are also required to upload or email signature pages that we refer to as inserts. These inserts are provided by us in Microsoft Word format, and each insert contains instructions for completing and signing the insert. The pre-bid letter of credit, which must be used for posting pre-bid security with the Part 2 proposal, must be submitted as an electronic PDF file to picoprocurement@nira.com. As I mentioned, both the Part 1 and Part 2 proposals require submission of inserts. These inserts are already posted to picoprocurement.com on the documents page under the supplier information section of the website. Applicants that are new, meaning they have not qualified in a solicitation held under DSP-5, will need to download the zip file labeled P1 Inserts New Bidders. Applicants that have qualified in a solicitation under DSP-5 but did not have winning bids should download the zip file labeled P1 Inserts Previously Qualified Bidders, and then applicants that have had winning bids in a solicitation under DSP-5 should download the zip file labeled P1 Inserts Default Suppliers. It is important to start with the right set of inserts, so if you have any questions regarding your status as either new, previously qualified, or a default supplier, please do get in contact with us. Also, at the bottom of the page currently posted, is a zip file that's labeled P2 Inserts Early Processing. And so this zip contains the inserts that require a signature and are due with the Part 2 proposal. If your officer would like to make all signatures at the same time, then you can go ahead and download this P2 zip file as well, and you can submit the Part 2 related inserts with the Part 1 proposal for early processing. If you're a new applicant and you have not yet registered for an account to access the online forms to submit your proposal, you should go ahead and do that now. You can register by going to picoprocurement.com and clicking on the Contact Us link on the left-hand side, and then clicking on the Register for an Account link. Alternatively, you can send an email to picoprocurement.com with the information that's requested here. The individual that registers for the account will receive an email prior to the Part 1 window with account activation instructions. Current account holders do not need to re-register through the website or by email, and a current account holder is an applicant that qualified to participate in a solicitation in 2021 or later, or an account holder that registered in 2021 or later. So if you fall into this bucket, even though you do not have to re-register, you will have to activate your account and set a new password in order to access the form. So, a bidder that qualified to participate in a solicitation in 2021 or later, the representative will receive an email with an activation link prior to the opening of the Part 1 window. If you're an account holder as of 2021 but have not participated, the individual that registered for the account, as I mentioned, is the one who will receive this email with the activation link. At the time that you receive the activation link, you will also receive instructions to access and complete the online forms. These instructions will include screenshots for how to navigate the form and how to activate your account. Once your account is active, you can navigate to the online forms directly by going to dspproposal.com. Alternatively, you can get onto the proposal site through the RFP website by clicking on the link either on the left-hand side or the right-hand side that's labeled Online Proposal Website. So this next section provides some details on the contracts and rates. PICO uses the uniform SMA developed for DSP3 with some EDC-specific provisions included. Appendix D to the SMA includes the PJM billing statement line items and identifies the responsible party for either PICO or the default supplier for each item. Beginning with DSP5, default suppliers must complete an Appendix H each year. Appendix H is the form of generation supply report, and it requests a percentage breakdown of the energy supplied by source for the year. The completed appendix should be provided to PICO by March 31st of each calendar year. This slide provides the credit requirements under the Uniform SMA. So, for the fixed price products available in this solicitation, credit exposure to PICO is based on a calculation of mark-to-market exposure that is net of accounts receivable or accounts payable to the supplier. Whether a supplier has to submit financial guarantees during the term of the SMA will be dependent on a credit evaluation that is specified in the contract. Each RFP bidder will receive the results of the credit evaluation based on the financial information that's provided in the Part 1 proposal with their Part 1 notification, which is well ahead of the bid date and contract execution timing. If a financial guarantee is required, it could be posted in the form of cash, a letter of credit, or in the form of a guarantee. There are standard forms of the guarantee and the letter of credit that are provided as exhibits to the Uniform SMA and available for download at this time. Default suppliers are responsible for providing alternative energy credits during the term of the Uniform SMA for PICO to comply with the Alternative Energy Portfolio Standards Act, as well as other orders, regulations, and rules. So, an alternative energy credit is issued for each megawatt hour of generation from a qualified alternative energy system. All solar credits must be compliant and eligible to be retired in Pennsylvania in accordance with Act 40 from 2017, And all Tier 2 credits must be compliant in accordance with Act 114, which was signed into law in November 2020. If any requirement under the AAPS Act changes during the term of the SMA, it's the default suppliers who are responsible to comply with any new obligations. The current obligation for each type of AEC is provided here at the bottom of this slide. During the transaction confirmation, each default supplier will be required to specify the average cost for each type of AEC, so non-solar tier 1, solar tier 1, and tier 2. Bidders will be reminded of this requirement to specify the prices in the transaction confirmation several times throughout the process. Under the terms of the Uniform SMA, a default supplier's AEPS obligation may be reduced by a number of AECs allocated to default suppliers in the transaction confirmation. The number of AECs per tranche to be allocated towards a default supplier's obligation is provided prior to the opening of the Part 1 window in each solicitation. The allocation for this solicitation is going to be provided on the next slide. Now, notably, any PICO AECs allocated to default supplier's AEPS obligation remain the property of PICO and are not transferred to the supplier. So this slide provides the number of AECs per tranche that PICO will allocate to winning suppliers this September. The table applies to Tier 1 solar AECs only. So this slide provides some details on the rates. The default service rates for a class are calculated on the basis of prices determined through this RFP and then incorporate a quarterly true-up and administrative costs. For the residential class, rates also include purchases by PICO to serve approximately 1% of the default load. In September 2021, PICO introduced time-of-use default service rate options for their residential and small commercial default customers with smart meters. The TOU options are not applicable to customers in PICO's customer assistance program. There is a default service rate calculation model that's posted to PICO's website. That model is accessible through the link in the final bullet on this slide. So on this final slide in this section, we provide some details on PICO's agreement with the New York Power Authority. Under a multi-state agreement, PICO receives for the benefit of its residential customers an annual allocation of capacity and associated energy from the St. Lawrence Hydroelectric Project operated by the New York Power Authority. The allocation is dependent upon the number of residential customers that PICO serves, and it's 5.727 megawatts for energy year 2023-24. Suppliers' residential tranches are the share of the default load for the residential class that excludes this NYPA allocation. So with that, I'm going to turn the presentation over to Matt Pettit, who will begin talking about the details of the RFP process.
Thank you, Katie. So over the next several slides, I'll be discussing the details of the requirements and the process for the RFP. So this will include both the Part 1 and the Part 2 process. And this is not necessarily an exhaustive summary of the entire process, so we do encourage you to consult the RFP rules as well as the addendum. So again, there are two parts to the proposal, the Part 1 proposal to become qualified and the Part 2 proposal to become eligible to submit bids. Only RFP bidders that have successfully completed the Part 1 proposal can then move on to the Part 2 proposal. In addition, prior to the Part 1 proposal, there is an alternative guarantee process, which is strictly optional and is geared toward RFP bidders that have corporate policies which preclude them from using the standard form of the guarantee, which is appended to the Uniform SMA. Bidders that have qualified pursuant to a complete Part 1 proposal will be able to participate in the bid submission training. And finally, bidders that have successfully completed the Part 1 and Part 2 proposals will become eligible to submit bids. So, as I mentioned, the alternative guarantee process is for those RFP bidders that have corporate policies that preclude them from using the standard form of the guarantee. And in that case, bidders may submit an alternate form of guarantee and request consideration from PICO for use of that form. The deadline for requests for review was August 15th, and separately, RFP bidders will also have the opportunity to propose modifications to the standard guarantee during the Part 1 window. There will be three different types of RFP bidders for purposes of the Part 1 proposal. One will be new bidders, which will be those RFP bidders who have not previously qualified, which is to say they have not successfully completed a Part 1 proposal under DSP 5. The second type of RFP bidder is a previously qualified bidder. This type of bidder is one that has previously qualified, which again means they have successfully completed a Part 1 proposal, but have not executed a uniform SMA for tranches 1 under DSP 5. And the third type of RFP bidder is default supplier. This designation is for those bidders that have previously qualified and executed a uniform SMA for tranches 1 under DSP 5. The second and third types of bidders, so not including new bidders, may be eligible to use an abbreviated Part 1 process. There are six discrete components to the Part 1 application. Bidders will provide contact information, including the name and address of the bidder, the designation of an officer who will be able to execute the contract and bind the bidder, and this individual will be responsible for signing all the required certifications and representations in both the Part 1 and Part 2 applications. The designation of an authorized representative who will serve as the point of contact, and optionally, the designation of nominees who will be copied on correspondence between the bidder and the independent evaluator. In the second section, bidders will provide financial and credit information, including quarterly financial statements and credit ratings for the entity on whose financial standing the bidder is reliant. So that could be the bidder's own financial standing or that of a guarantor. Additional information will be required for bidders submitting a proposal under an agency agreement. In the third section, bidders are asked but not required to provide information to prepare the uniform SMA. So in the event the bidder goes on to become a winning bidder, that information would be used to prepare the uniform SMA. And if the bidder elects not to provide this information with the Part 1 proposal, then they will have to provide it after the bid date, assuming they become a winning bidder. Bidders will also have the opportunity to propose modifications to both the letter of credit that is appended to the uniform SMA that would be used during the supply period, as well as the pre-bid letter of credit that is used to provide financial guarantees with the Part 2 proposal. Bidders can propose modifications throughout the Part 1 date. But before doing so, we do encourage you to look at the modifications that have already been approved by PICO, and these are available on the RFP website. Additionally, if the proposed modifications you submit contain the same modifications as a previous solicitation, then the modifications will not be reviewed again, but you may request that the independent evaluator email to you PICO's assessment of the prior submittal. If you choose to propose modifications, then they should be provided in Microsoft Word with track changes clearly showing all modifications that you are proposing. PICO will then review the changes and responses will be provided within 2 business days for the standard letters of credit and standard guarantee. And for the post-bid letter of credit, that review window will take 7 days. Any newly approved modifications for this solicitation will then be added to the list of acceptable modifications and posted to the RFP website ahead of the Part 2 proposal for use in that Part 2 proposal and beyond. So I mentioned the Part 1 consists of 6 components. So the fourth section will require bidders to make certain certifications and representations. So for example, the information that is provided in the Part 1 proposal is true and complete to the best of the officer's knowledge. Bidders will be able to submit the representations required by the Part 2 proposal in their Part 1 proposal for early processing. Again, the officer will be required to sign all of these certifications and representations, so in the event they are unavailable to sign the Part 2 representations during the Part 2 window, this option is made available. For foreign RFP bidders or bidders who are relying on the financial standing of a foreign guarantor, there will be additional requirements. In these circumstances, there are additional documents that are required for the execution of the Uniform SMA. Bidders to whom this applies will be able to submit drafts of those documents with their Part 1 proposal. Lastly, there is a section in the online Part 1 form for justification of omission, where bidders can explain the reasoning for any information they were unable to provide. All materials for the Part 1 proposal are due by noon on Tuesday, September 12th, 2023. Part of the Part 1 and Part 2 proposals will require the bidder to complete inserts, which are separate documents in Microsoft Word format. The way in which a particular insert must be signed and submitted is detailed in the header of each insert, and there are different streams through which the signature and submission process can progress. The bidder may use a digital signature so long as it is accompanied by an additional document or information that verifies the identity of the signatory. The bidder, in certain circumstances, may use an electronic signature so long as it is emailed to picoprocurement@nira.com, either from the signer or with the signer on copy. And lastly, the bidder may use a notarized signature where the insert will be printed, signed, scanned, and uploaded to the online form. So, following a bidder's submission of the online form, the independent evaluator will promptly review the proposal, and during that review process, the bidder's account will be temporarily locked. The bidder will receive either a complete notice, meaning all required information for the Part 1 proposal has been provided, or the bidder will receive a deficiency notice. In either case, the bidder will be advised about the status of its proposal on the same day if materials are received before noon Eastern Time or on the following business day otherwise. If a business, excuse me, if a bidder receives a deficiency notice, that notice will detail the items which require correcting or clarifying, and the bidder will generally have until the deadline of the Part 1 proposal, or one business day to respond to the notice. For those RFP bidders that successfully complete the Part 1 proposal, they will receive Part 1 notification, and this notification is expected by Thursday, September 14th. In addition to being notified that you have become qualified by completing the Part 1 proposal, you will also receive additional documents that are necessary for your continued participation in the proposal process. That will include a credit assessment based on the financial information that you will have submitted with the Part 1 proposal. You will receive a customized bid form and instructions on the bid submission process. You will also receive confidential login information so that you can participate in the bidder training and so that you can submit bids on the bid date. Moving on to the Part 2 proposal, all bidders will be required to provide a number of certifications and representations. And as I mentioned before, these can be provided during the Part 1 window for early processing. Certain bidders have additional requirements. So, for example, those bidders that are relying on the financial standing of a guarantor, they would be required to provide an intent to provide a guarantee from the guarantor, and also these bidders are asked to provide information to prepare the guarantee. If the bidder is a foreign entity or is relying on the financial standing of a foreign entity, then that bidder is also asked to provide the documents that will be required with the Uniform SMA. Finally, all bidders will be providing a pre-bid letter of credit. And I'll provide more detail on this on the next slide. But just as a note, the letter of credit must be submitted only via electronic means in PDF format to the independent evaluator at picoprocurement@nira.com. Hard copy versions are not acceptable. And all Part 2 proposals are due by September 21st. So, again, all bidders will provide a pre-bid letter of credit in an amount of $250,000 per tranche that the bidder intends to bid on the residential and small commercial products. For a bidder that intends to bid on all available tranches for the residential and small commercial products, the maximum amount of the pre-bid letter of credit will be $7.5 million. Now, it is possible that a bidder is not eligible to bid on all tranches, and that would be true if the bidder has a binding bidder-specific load cap. And this bidder-specific load cap is also why the independent evaluator issues to each bidder a customized bid form. For purposes of submitting the letter of credit, each bidder must use the standard form of the pre-bid letter of credit as posted to the RFP website or incorporating only pre-approved modifications, also posted to the RFP website. So that will complete our overview of the requirements of the Part 1 and Part 2 proposals, and I will now discuss the bid submission process as well as the post-bid process. So a bid is a price in dollars per megawatt hour for one tranche of a product. It is automatically rounded to the nearest cent using standard rounding rules. The officer of the bidder will have certified that the bid is binding until 6 business days after the bid date. And the bid must be sufficiently supported by the pre-bid security, and we will confirm this is the case when we receive your bid form. Bids will then be evaluated by the independent evaluator on a price-only basis. Here is an example of the bid form, and prior to the bid date, each bidder will be provided a personalized bid form to be submitted on the bid date. Section 2 of the bid form provides the area for the bidder to enter prices wherein the bids in each cell serve as a bid on a single tranche. The bid form will provide running totals for your convenience and additionally will provide a check as to whether you have exceeded your load cap. The load caps will be hard-coded by us on a per-bidder basis prior to you receiving your bid form. On bid date, your bids must be submitted between 10 a.m. and 12 p.m. on Tuesday, September 26th. Bids are submitted online through a secure file transfer system, and we will call you and confirm receipt within 30 minutes of submission. Bidders will have the opportunity to correct errors if there are any, and for this reason, bidders are encouraged to submit early. Bidders will have a minimum of 10 minutes to submit any non-conforming bid form, and this process will be outlined to you in the bidder guide provided with the Part 1 notification. By 3 p.m. on the bid date, we determine provisional winning bids and inform bidders whether or not they are provisional winning bidders. And winning bids remain provisional until approved by the Commission, and that decision is expected to be made by September 28th. Bidders may participate and are encouraged to participate in a training session on September 20th, at which time members of our team will be available to answer questions, and bidders will be able to practice the bid day procedures in full. Following our notification to winning suppliers, bidders will be asked to provide information to prepare the uniform SMA and guarantee if they were not provided with the Part 1 proposal. The Commission will issue a decision by the second business day following the bid date, at which time we provide PICO with the uniform SMA, transaction confirmations, and guarantee. PICO will then execute the contract documents and send the documents to winning suppliers. Bidders will then execute and return the contract documents, as well as post any additional security as necessary. 15 days after the bid date, certain information will be posted and announced by us, and that includes the weighted average winning bid price by product and the number of tranches of each product procured. Of note is the names of winning suppliers are not released. And to round things out, I'm going to provide some brief information related to the RFP website. So again, the website is picoprocurement.com, and it is the central source of information relating to the RFP. It has the central, the supplier and regulatory documents, a data room with historical data, a calendar page with important dates, a contact us page to register to receive email announcements relating to the RFP, as well as an archive page of postings from past solicitations for reference. And that archive page will also have the results from those prior solicitations. So please feel free to send us any and all questions either through our online portal, which is pictured below, or by email to picoprocurement@nera.com. We aim to answer questions within 2 business days, and we post these questions online after removing any identifying information. And that is going to round things out for the presentation portion of this webcast.